accession number 10421, reel 5.
Mr. Leslie Thornton, Reel 5. Can you tell me something of the type of soldiers you served with in the training unit?
Well, yes, they were mostly from the Newcastle area, Gateshead, Newcastle, Old Firm, places like that. And there were different types, as far as I was concerned, the ones I served with. You had the chap that didn't take too well to discipline, and he had to be disciplined. He had to be forced to do a job, more or less. You had the timid type who had to be coaxed, and then you had his type who took well and took any order and did the job. There's another type, really, the bully type of man, and the NCOs used to use him to help them. They used to say, "Right, Riley." I remember this man's name particularly, Riley. We are going out, and when we come back, we want to see this barrack room spotless. And of course, Riley used to turn round to all of us and say, "Now listen, the corporal said we want this done and we're going to do it." Now, if he'd have been told by the corporal, "Riley, get this job done," he wouldn't have taken it. But because the corporal sort of put him in charge, although he wouldn't make an NCO, he wouldn't have made an NCO, but he put him in charge, and Riley said, "Right, let's get cracking," or, you know, he didn't mean he would hit anybody, but he was a big lad, and they said, "Right, oh, we'll get cracking," and that was the thing. That's the type of men, really, that I remember. You know, the ones who could take it, the ones that had to be coaxed, and the ones that did it willingly and without any question, and the ones that, as I say, timid ones who had to be coaxed into to do the job but did it. And that's really all I can remember about the types I had. You had the ones who all wanted to be out and neglected their jobs cleaning the kit. Of course, they suffered for that the next morning because the kit wasn't up to standard. Others, like myself, would say, "Right, well, I'm sitting on my bed and I'm going to get cracking and I'll be all ready for the morning."
Was there much of a fallout from the recruits? Did you lose many because they weren't up to standard?
Not a lot. No, not a lot. I can only remember, really, in my squad, I think only about two in the 6 months left because they were undesirable.
Was there much evidence of bullying amongst the men?
No, just little things. You probably have a fight now and again. But nothing really serious.
There's no outstanding character or personality that you recall?
Not really. No, I don't think there was anybody that in my squad that I could say was outstanding anything really bad or really good.
There was no initiation ceremonies that you...
No. There'd be the odd pranks, like you get a lad that was a bit simple, would say, a little bit simple, and they used to take the mickey out of him. They'd probably, this lad was about 6'2" in height and thin, and what they did with him once was to stick him in a dustbin with his behind in first. So his legs were hanging over and his back was hanging over, and they lifted him up and stuck him on top of the blanco shed and left him there. things like that. And of course, the corporal opens out, Duffy, again. They'd take the mickey out in that way, but nothing, you know, that you could that deserved any severe punishment.
What was the overall attitude towards the officers and NCOs?
Well, I won't say they were frightened, but you know, you'd get the remark, "Hey up!" The COs are coming along the path. Although it was discipline, they really. They weren't really frightened of him, but they knew that it was the commanding officer, or they knew it was the RSM. And the ones that, of course, the Lance Corporal, it wasn't so much, or the Corporal, it wasn't so much. But they'd say, they would remark, "Oh, here's the Sergeant. See, he was the man." Or, "He's the Sergeant Major." Or, "Watch out, the RSM's round there." That's about sums it up.
Was it basically respectful?
Oh, yes. Yes. Because, you see, they had more respect for the sergeant and the sergeant major and the officers because they come in contact with the sergeant in the barrack room very much. So he was stood out as a man in charge. He lived in Marie Quarters and then he came over right ready for your parade, where your corporals in the barrack room would be there all the time and probably talk to you about things. And so you didn't hold them in as much respect as the other senior ones.
Thinking back over the whole of your training at Fenham, do you think it was good and did it prepare you for what you were about to do?
I think I enjoyed my 6 months training at the depot better than I enjoyed anything else, really. I always look back on it, maybe because I was champion athlete of the squad. Well, I wasn't, there was two of us, retired. And of course, when I went back to the depot time, there was my name in gold letters on a big board in the gymnasium, the ladies of the squad, Private Thornton, so many points. And then the other chap was Wallace, came from Low Fell, and he had tied with me. The reason I didn't win outright was because of balance. You had the bar where you used to have to walk across it, and balance was my bad fault. So that's the reason I got low points. But the other things were running and jumping, and of course I was very small, and putting the shot let me down a little bit. You know, the 16-pound shot. You know, that's. But otherwise, I enjoyed it. Once you got it down to it, there was a bit of competition. You wanted to be the best, and that really went for all of the squad, I should say, in a way.
You were there 6 months?
Yes.
How did you find out you were about to be moved onto the 2nd Battalion?
Oh, we knew beforehand. As soon as our training started, we knew when we'd go. We knew we'd go in six months' time. So you had weeks, you see. Your training was week one, week two, week three, up to week 26. And you knew after week 26 you'd go on 2 weeks leave. And then you'd be going down to the battalion. And, of course, everybody looked forward going to the battalion. A change. It was a change. And you thought you were finished, really, with all this training, that you were a trained soldier.
How did your parents feel about you going farther away after your 2 weeks?
Well, they never really discussed it a great deal because I was still in the country and they knew I'd get leave, so they weren't unduly worried.
So you got 2 weeks leave,
yes.
And then you came back to Fenham?
Yeah, oh yes.
And then you moved from Fenham to?
To Woking.
And the move itself, can you recall it?
Yes, we were taken down by train to our own squad sergeant. Of course, you know, the procedure then was you went trained properly, you were in ranks, and did the job properly. The doors would, they opened the train doors and you filed in the doings. And when you got down to your destination, the great thing was the regimental band was waiting at the station, and for the first time we marched at our ceremonial pace, which was 156 of the minute, whereas we normally march at 140 on normal training. But we march from Woking to Inkerman Barracks in Knackhill with the band, and it really was, it was great. And you marched in, and then you'd see all the old soldiers looking round, hey up, here's another lot. And then, of course, we thought, well, this is it. We'll finish all this care, but we weren't. That wasn't the last of your training, because your squad sergeant stayed with you for a certain length of time, and you went through all again in a much shorter time as you did at the depot.
Can I just come back to your march? How far was it?
About a mile.
And you marched at that pace?
Yeah, yes, yes.
Had you any equipment?
No equipment, just normal uniform.
So you marched into the barracks, and what happened next?
Well, you were formed up, of course, in the on the parade ground, and then the officers and sergeant major would come on, inspect you, and told what was going to happen, and then you were allotted to your company. But you didn't stay in it until you'd finished all this, as they called it, post-depot training, which was really a revision of what you did in about 3 weeks instead of your 6 months, just to refresh you and see what, actually it was to see what you had learned and what you were like. And then after those 3 weeks, you had a passing out parade in front of the command officer. And then you went to your respective companies. Some went away, B, C, headquarters, because you would have been sort of tested to see if there were any potential signallers or bandsmen, etc., in the squad.
Can I come back to your arrival at Woking? You would obviously go into barrack blocks. What was the accommodation like?
The accommodation was very old. It was an old women's prison, incoming barracks. Well, you can imagine then, as a prison, it had a big wall around it and the front gate. Similar to a barracks, but it was really an old prison in use. And your iron bedsteads, same as you had at the depot, really. Your barrack rooms weren't so good as the depot, because there wasn't much, they were older, much older, and the care hadn't been taken of the floors and things like that. But otherwise, no change as far as sleeping accommodation was concerned. You had your fire the same, your coal fire, and your normal things, irons, to iron your trousers with and all that in the barrack room.
What inspections did you have in Woking?
Well, we didn't have so many as the depot. You made your beds up as you did at the depot, but it wasn't so strict. And more times you're allowed to lay your beds down ready as though you were going to sleep in it. I think it was then only once a week did you put your beds up for inspection. Whereas at the depot, they had to be like that every day. At the depot, they had to be either armchair fashion, as they call it, so you could sit down, you had two of your biscuits, as they call them, at the back, one like that, on your bed, and you could sit down. The other was where they were folded up completely with your blanket, your sheet, and a blanket wrapped round your three biscuits on top of each other, and your blankets and sheets on top of that. But as I say, in the battalion, it wasn't as strict as that. You just did it once a week.
You'd still have to keep your barracks clean and your toilets clean.
Yes, you still had those tasks to do, and you still had your old bumper to polish the floor. As I said, at the depot, your floors were brown. These were old barracks, much older than even Fenham, and the floors were black. The woodwork was black, and so it took a little bit more getting up to standard.
Did you have a medical when you got to Woking?
Yes, just a normal inspection. You strip down and doctor had a look at you and in bulk, not sep, just a check.
Were you issued with any other equipment?
No, you'd handed in all your stuff at the depot, and you were just issued with the same kind of stuff when you got to the battalion. But the only difference is you were issued with a rifle that was serviceable, where at the depot, your rifle at the depot was for drill purposes, and it was called a DP rifle. It had no firing pin in the bolt. But you wanted the devil was the one that you're going to use to fire on the range with, etc., and was a serviceable rifle.
Did you find that the discipline was at all different?
Yes, it wasn't as strict. Well, it was as strict, but to us, it was more free and easy because you didn't come in touch. You weren't on the barrack square all the time. You did your fatigues in the battalion the same as you did the depot, but there was nobody on your back, should I say, as much as there was the depot doing your training, because that was what it was all about. Your training was to prepare you for to know what you were going to do. Once you got the battalion, that was relaxed a bit, because you were supposed to know exactly what you were going to do.
Were the punishments that were meted out for the similar kind of
offences? Same thing, yes. Three-day CB, 7-day CB, and then up to 28 days detention.
Duties. You did duties change.
Well, you did guards. At the depot, you didn't.
Can you take me through a guard duty?
Well, you formed up on the square. You were punching a whole day, and everybody helped with this guard because they wanted the company that was on to get the stick. The stick was the best soldier on the guard, and the guard wasn't from all from one company. It was men from each company. Different companies supplied so many men, and the company wanted to make sure their man was the best, and he got the stick, which means he didn't do a guard. All he did was he was given a regimental cane. And he was commanding an officer's stick orderly. That's where the stick comes from. And all he did was wait out the orderly room, and any messages, whoever wanted him to go, could be the chief clerk, could be the adjutant, not very often the CO, because he would give the orders out to somebody else to send you on a particular errand. But then when parade's finished, you were finished. So you didn't do a guard. And then If you were lucky enough to get three sticks off the belt, you would excuse guards for 3 months or something like that. So it was an incentive to make sure, try your best and get off guard.
And how did you find out you were due to do a guard?
Came on company on company detail. The sergeant major would put detail out for the next day, and you were on guard the next day.
And so those guard duties, what other kind of duties did you have?
We did a little bit of training, a little bit of field craft at times, but a fire picket, canteen duty, cold fatigue, just the same as the depot really, because all those jobs, you had married quarters there, so all those jobs had still to be done. And of course, the private soldiers had to do them.
What about recreation?
Oh yes, we were on the. It all depended on what you were like, of course. I was in the football team. After not the first team, the second team, because you had some good footballers, and of course I was an outside left. I was a good sprinter, an outside left, and I played for the second team. But I couldn't get my game for the first team because the outside left for the first team was better than I was. And also another point there: if you were on the Italian football team, you got away with a lot of fatigues. The quartermaster was in charge of the football team, as he normally is a quartermaster, and he made sure that you, instead of doing fatigues, you got on the field training. Get on the field training, and that was that.
And what other games would the other soldiers play?
Well, gymnasium, basketball. Hockey, cricket in its time. We didn't have any tennis.
Was there much gambling?
A bit. Mostly done in the canteen. You didn't find NCOs coming to the canteen very often. They had their own corporal's mess. The corporals and the, of course, it was next door to the canteen itself, the Naffy, and there was a little bit, and not a lot because he hadn't got the money. So I wouldn't say there was a great deal.
How much were you paid at this time?
I was still on 14 shillings a week.
And you had your pay parade just as you had it?
Just the same, yes. Exactly the same.
Was the gambling frowned upon still? Would it have been frowned upon had it been spotted?
Well, it wasn't really. They weren't concerned, as long as it didn't cause any trouble.
Now, what about local leave getting out into the neighbourhood?
Oh, yes. You could get out at night. Not really when you first came from the depot. You were still on this little bit of training, but later on could. But you were out civilian clothes by now, after a certain length of the battalion. But before out in civilian clothes, you had to go in front of the command officer with inspected. That's why they said that the 2nd Battalion DLI, when I was in it, was one of the smartest. The smartest soldiers in out of uniform. Because they were inspected and weren't allowed to wear anything they liked, and you were looked at when you went through the guard room, mainly to see if you got a hat on, because that was the dress. You couldn't go out without a hat. It didn't matter which type of hat it was really, but the most popular one was a cap, a soft cap, and it was called the inside pocket cap. Because as soon as it's all away from the barracks and into the town, off it came in his inside pocket, and as he went along, keeping an eye open for any NCOs kicking the bat out and put it on his head. I remember one chap at one time, he was out there without a cap at all, and he saw the RSM was coming along, so he did a quick left turn into a shop, put a half crown down, and came out with a trilby on. And of course, the RSM obviously knew, and he got was a hard look. But as much as to say, well, you saw me coming, you knew you were forward if you caught, and you had enough discipline to do what was right and make sure you weren't caught. As my sergeant said many a time, if I see you in the town and you're doing something wrong and you run away, he said, I won't chase you. He said, I know you've seen me and you're out of my road. He said, that's fair enough. And that was the attitude. As long as they knew that you knew, I should say that they knew you knew discipline.
How were you received by the civilians in the area?
Well, just half and half, really. You see, a soldier before the war wasn't he was more or less frowned upon. They thought that a soldier was somebody who was out of work and just went into the army to, because there was nothing else, or he wouldn't work, he was a lounger. That was the attitude before the war.
Was there much trouble fighting?
Oh, yes. Well, yes, but not with the civilian population. Sometimes it was between rival troops. The guards, for instance, have a battle with the guards, have a few pints in the town, and have a walk round what they called the Monkey Run. It was just like round the block. They used to go and have a pint and go round and another pub. And of course, you used to bump into the guards who were stationed nearby. I forget which barracks, and of course then. Trouble would start, and there'd be a fight. But that didn't happen a great deal, many times, but it did happen. It was rivalry, really.
What about recreation in the neighbourhood itself?
No, Nothing at all. We had our annual sports in the battalion, of course, where each company was given a coin. You wore your little sash with yellow, red, blue for each company, and you did your annual for your annual championships. Every event you used to do the long jump, the high jump, the 100 yards, 2:24:40, 8:80 mile, putting a short javelin, the whole lot. And of course you got marks for each, and then the company would be presented with a trophy, and the winners presented with a little shield or cup.
In the neighbourhood, in the township, was it cinema, public houses?
Oh yes, in Woking itself, there was the pubs and your cinemas, and of course there was the attraction of the girls as well. That they went down to pick up a girl and take her into the pub and have a drink or two. Mostly for company, but and for other things, of course, if they were in that frame of mind.
It was much easier to move amongst the female population than it was in the depot.
Yes. But you see, you had civilian clothes as well. And the much easier, you probably told them you were in the army, but when you had civilian clothes on, it, they said, oh, well, it must be a good thing when you can be dressed up in civilian clothes like this.
Can we turn to leave? How much leave?
Those days we had, 28 days a year, split up into three lots. 30 days a year, that's right, 30 days a year. When you got to the rank of sergeant, if you did, it went up to 42 days a year. And you had it in, say, three times a year, a fortnight at a time.
Promotions.
Well, you see, when I went down to the depot, I was walking past, and my sergeant was there, and the sergeant major came along, and I heard my sergeant, the depot, say to him, "This is one of them." See? I knew what he was talking about. He was, I'd been earmarked from the depot for promotion when I got down the battalion. There was two or three of us, you know. So that's all he said. And then, so it was 3 months or so into 1938 when I was asked to take a stripe. A stripe wasn't a promotion. A lot of people thought it was, but it wasn't a promotion. It wasn't a rank. A Lance Corporal was an appointment, and which could be taken away any time by the command officer, not by the company commander, but the CEO could say, right, deprived of Lance Stripe, whereas a corporal was a rank, and even the CEO couldn't take the rank away from a corporal. It would have to be a court martial.
Did it bring extra money?
Oh yes, yes. It was about 6 and a day, Lance Corporal.